I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, guys. Welcome back to the podcast. Hello, Matt.
It's a very different intro.
Well, do you remember last week or whenever we last recorded, I was like, I'm going to just mix it up a bit.
Yeah, I liked it. It was very calming. It's very soothing.
I've learned how annoying it is when you start a trademark and then you can never move on from it. So I don't want that to be the case with this podcast.
No, but your YouTube trademark is very different to this one. I can't imagine people doing this in the street to you. Hello and welcome to Lower Expectations.
Hello, listeners of Lower.
Yeah, so we're just going to mix it up. You know, you can sometimes go, what's up, guys?
I will jump in sometimes. I just take the lead. So all the responsibility isn't on you all the time. Hi. But how are you doing?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Very good, thank you. We've had some exciting news recently, haven't we? What's been going on?
Spilled the tea.
We've actually decided to partner up with Patreon.
That makes it sound like it's sponsored.
And it's not.
It's not sponsored at all. But we have decided to join Patreon. I feel like it's more of a known thing in America.
Yeah, definitely.
Than the UK.
I've got no idea what Patreon is, Marcus. Explain it to me.
Oh, here we go then, Matt. Patreon is essentially a site that allows creators of
stuff,
whatever it is, to place their work and offer up rewards to fans of their work in like for kind of a subscription, I guess. So if you're a fan of something, you could, for example, if you're a fan of our podcast, Lower Your Expectations, you could head over to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/loweryourexpectations. Original, I know. And we're essentially offering a bunch of different rewards in different categories because we kind of feel like it's not too cheeky to ask for this.
No, it's not cheeky at all, because I think there's some, I'm not going to name and shame anyone, but there's a lot of creators on there who just expect support for nothing, whereas for every tier we've got on there, there's a list of exclusive things that you're getting that you otherwise wouldn't have. So, you know, we're providing a service, and in exchange for that, we're asking for support.
That you do that much better than me. Were you rehearsing that before I came in here?
I was dreaming about it last night.
But for example, some of the things might be, we're going to be putting the episodes, giving it an exclusive window for a couple of days. We're going to be doing bonus segments of there. We're going to be doing live Q&As, live hangouts with you guys. There's going to be some merch opportunities in there once we've got the merch up and running.
The live hangouts are going to be wild. I'm quite worried.
Yeah, because you've never done one, have you? So it's going to be, I mean, if you needed a reason to join, it's to see Matt on a live hangout.
Oh, God. I think I watched you do a YouTube hangout before.
Yeah.
A live one, but no, I've never done anything like that. So yeah, come and watch the train crash.
One of the other tiers we're going to be doing and experimenting with is putting the podcast in full video format on the Patreon, which scares both of us because it means we're always going to be watched. Like, at least how we do it now, we just put the segments of it on YouTube, whereas now it might be that we're just being watched all the time.
Usually I'll run in mid-episode, go and do my hair and stuff, and then come back and I'm ready, guys. Now it's nowhere to hide.
It's going to go back to what I told you when we had guests on before, of when I'm in shot with them and they're talking, I've got my listening face
on. It's my favorite thing,
because I'm obviously sat there, but the camera's on me as well, so I've got to just like really be in that moment. You're gonna know what it feels like.
I never have to do that, and it's nice. So I watch you, I'm thinking like, oh, it must be hard concentrating on what they're saying, but also like
thinking,
I hope I don't look like a dick.
But not only that, and then thinking, oh, I need to actually look at my laptop right now, but it's gonna be really rude if I turn my head away. There we go. If some of you are wondering what we're going to be doing with that money, hello, this is our podcast studio, our very own space, which is very exciting. It's still in the works. We have a mattress just lying up against the wall at the moment. We have sound pads to pad around the room. But we also want to take the podcast global, in the sense that we would love to take it to America. We would love to take it to Australia. We would love to do a tour. We would love to get different guests from all over the world on and having a sort of production budget would allow us to do that.
Wait, so you mean all that stuff costs money? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, for me.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, like we said, if you are a fan of this podcast and you'd maybe want to support us, great, thank you. We would really appreciate that. There'll be a link in either the sort of podcast notes, whatever you listen to device, find the notes on there. Or like we said, go to Patreon. Maybe I should spell that.
Yeah, because it is a funny word, isn't it?
patreon.com/ lower your expectations.
But yeah, and if you don't want to do that, guys, not going to hold it against you. It's fine. As long as you keep listening to the podcast, that's okay. It just means you don't like us as much as other people. But, you know, that's up to you. If you don't like us, that's fine.
No, but seriously, no jokes. If you don't want to do that, obviously, absolutely fine.
Yeah,
continue to listen to the podcast however you do. And we will still love and appreciate you for that.
Yep.
But if you do get on board, we love you even more.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So I know you've just got back from a flight. You ready to go on another one?
Oh, God.
Are you a bit jet-lagged or are you okay to go on another flight so quickly?
I'm ready. I'm raring to go.
Okay, because Brexit luckily doesn't affect this flight because we're not going to Europe. We're going to outer space and we're going to go all around the internet and the world of the internet. And look over there. Oh, wait, that's Patreon. / low expectation. That's a new addition. I've never seen that there before. And then on the right, you've got Jake Paul and Shane Dawson going on an ATV. ATV? ATR?
I don't know,
80
mate.
Something.
Don't want to interrupt.
And Shane looks like he's terrified and Jake looks like a stone cold killer. Anyway, we're landing. We're on a planet that looks like Mars isn't Mars. It is the digital world. You got your hand up.
Am I allowed to add something in?
Yep.
I cannot wait till you have to do that on the video on Patreon. So you always say you're fine doing it because no one sees it.
If you go to Patreon, you'll see it. Brilliant.
So we're in the digital world, guys. We're here. We've landed. What else can we talk about other than Shane? Because, hello, we got a motherfucking feature.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that.
Yeah, it was mental, wasn't it?
Well, you were not live, but you must have been getting the tweets and stuff from people as it happened.
I started watching it 4 minutes after it came out.
Did you actually? Yeah. Oh my days. You're such a keen fan.
Well, you got to think, it was, I was in Berlin and it was obviously an hour further ahead. So I think he dropped some at 8 in the UK. So it was 9. So I was like already at home and I was talking about it with Steffi because I showed her episode 4 and she was then like, oh my God, I don't want to watch it. And yeah, I mean, there we are. We were watching and as I was watching, my phone started vibrating.
Oh, that's so
like,
nice. Oh,
where are we? We're slagging him off.
We weren't slagging him off. Criticism, it's fine. But I was really not annoyed or anything, but I was in the underground of a comedy club. So it was, do you know what the most frustrating thing was? I was getting all the texts and notifications. I couldn't do anything. It wouldn't let me send anything. So I got your text saying, mate, we're on Shane's video.
I was just like, oh, he doesn't give a shit.
No.
Cool. All right. Nice.
Mate, Gemma was like, oh my God, that's amazing. Oh my God. But then the next act was literally started. So I couldn't go upstairs or anything.
She left right there. No,
it was so bad because during that person, I couldn't think about anything else.
Other than
the Shane video.
What have I said?
And it was really funny because I was really worried about what I personally said or anything. When I watched it, I just said yes.
So you say something, and I go, yeah.
Yeah, because you were texting me, you were saying, oh my God, what, like, what did I say? Is it negative? And I was like, to be honest, I'm slagging him off. And then you just go, yeah.
No, you just say, I want Jake Paul. That's fine.
It was funny, though, because how he cut it was the reaction straight from us to him standing there, reacting to the criticism, like, and I was like, oh, Shane, I'm sorry, mate.
I did a really, like, excited tweet when I got out, yeah, not realising what, cute. Well, it's a bit embarrassing now. And I just go, yes. I've made it. I'm famous. But
your face is now being viewed by 15 crazy. Million people. You're going to be recognised on the street. People are going to walk over and yeah. Are you that guy that said yeah in Shane Dawson's video?
I'm going to order something. Do you want coffee? Like, yes. And yeah. Who it's was me. That? Maybe it was Shane too, but I imagine it was Andrew who found the clips.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, I wonder if he liked the video or not.
I don't think he's going to like it, is he?
What do you think?
Well, it doesn't matter what you make. If you've put so much time and effort in something and someone's like, bit shit, you're not going to be like, oh, I like this. You know, when a film gets a really shit review, I always think what it must be like being involved in the people that, any member of the team that made that film.
Yeah.
It must be like the worst day of your life.
Especially with films that are, it's like a year of your life. I mean, it's like one star.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Oh, was that Rotten Tomatoes 30%? Oh, sick. Okay, so at time of recording, we have just watched episode 5. So we should clarify because I think...
Out of 8, isn't it?
Yeah, 6 is definitely out by the time this is out. Maybe 7? I don't know if that will be out. I don't think so.
I don't think 7 will be.
Jake has just met Shane, or Shane has just met Jake. He's gone to the Team 10 house. And the idea behind the episode, I guess, was to kind of
day in the life with
Jake Paul slash just... the nonsense that goes on in that house.
Yeah, it's meant to be like a fun, because with his normal other series, the first episode's always like the fun of getting to know them, mm-hmm. and then you go into the deepest layers
of
it. The
serious chats.
Yeah, exactly. So this was that. For the most part, didn't look like Jake was having that much fun.
Yeah, so from the moment he met Jake, I got weird vibes off him. He seemed a bit nervous, but Shane also seemed nervous. And I've said it to you before, I mean, offense or not to Jake, he just cannot string a sentence together without using the word like every 5 to 10 words.
Is that a consequence of his age, do you think?
I don't know, maybe.
That's a massive insult to 21-year-olds because I don't know if I was like that when I was 21. I can't remember.
I don't know.
I know what you mean though, because you said that about he went on True Geordie's mm-hmm. podcast before his fight with Deji mm-hmm. and it was the same thing.
Well, I was almost glued to Logan's interview because it was such a fascinating one because of how much Logan, he comes across really kind of, I guess, intelligent in the way he tells stories and his experiences. And then when it came to Jake in the True Geordie podcast, I was just like, what? It's not making any sense. He's not kind of giving any emotion. He's not setting a story, which not everyone can obviously do. But I was just expecting a bit more from Jake in terms of storytelling. I hope we're going to get there. But I said to you, he seemed emotionally not there. When he told the stories, I didn't feel anything. When he talked about his upbringing, and he just kind of seemed really...
Well, everything in the same tone of voice.
Yeah. Sociopath.
That's something I wanted to talk about with you, because how interesting is it that Shane's putting out these episodes almost live, in the sense that he does a couple and then puts them up, edits them, and then films the next couple. So he's almost taking on all the criticism and the opinions of people and then changing it on the basis of that.
Do you think that is how it works?
Yeah, he tweeted the other day saying he's filming episode 7 and then episode 8, etc. Because I thought he did it all in one go, or in a 2-week period, and then cuts it all up and, you know, slowly drip feeds it to the audience. But no, which I found fascinating. So Jake's watched all this sociopath stuff, and then he's like, hey, come to my house.
I'm doing everything I can to prove I'm not a sociopath.
Yeah, I wanted to get your take on that, because I've never known something change in that way. It's like when Kanye West released Pablo, that was a thing that was also changing based on more himself rather than other people, mm-hmm. but he would change tracks and you'd listen to it one day and it's completely different the next day.
Different singer on that track. Yeah, which was crazy. Production, yeah.
Because I got attached to things and then I'd be like, oh, I love that bit. And now it's gone.
Bye.
But I've never known that with YouTube series.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit different because Kanye, you know, you put an album out and then he's gone and changed something that's there. Whereas Shane, it's kind of clever and it's cool that YouTube works this way that allows him to do that. Whereas a TV show, if a TV show is made, you never do that. But I think he can do that because how it is now is still quite low budget in terms of it's just him and Andrew.
Ultimately, he has the biggest responsibility because he is the one signing everything off.
Yeah.
So whereas in a TV show, you've got layers upon layers of people saying, oh yeah, this is good. Yeah, yeah, do this, do that. It's all up to him.
It's a lot of pressure.
When he gets that criticism come in, you know, and we're guilty of doing that, which I don't apologize for because that's just our opinions. Mm-hmm. It's interesting that he has changed the direction of the show. Like in the episode, he doesn't really talk about the sociopath thing anymore. What? It's alluded to rather than outrightly said, oh, is this what a sociopath does? Because Katie, the therapist, is there with him, but they're not talking as explicitly about it as they were.
That's true. I thought that when he was taking the therapist along, I was like, oh, where are we going with this? What's going to happen now?
She's got a book.
Yeah. She's got her little textbook with her. I'm joking. What I did find interesting, don't know if it has any relation as of yet, is there was a significant drop off in the views from the first two. So the first two episodes, 20 million, 19 million. The second one, which arguably is the one that received a lot of criticism.
Yeah.
Third episode, 14 million views. I mean, we're talking, it's mental. It is absolutely mental, but
he's going to have to remortgage his home.
Show's cancelled. Yeah. Sorry, boys and girls.
Why do you think that is? But are people losing interest?
Yeah, because I think a lot of people watch that wanting Jake. Like what we I don't need to talk about it again because we've already listened to our previous episodes where we talked about it, but already the one where Jake Paul is now in it, one day ago 13 million views, you know, that's the interest. Isn't it? That's what the whole show's about. So of course it's going to pick up again. I do believe it's going to pick up. I just found it interesting how the third episode had dropped off. 25% drop off maybe.
What do you think about this? So obviously we were critical about the mental health side, but Shane's deviated from his original kind of plan of all of this. And I feel a bit sorry for him because he seems so passionate about that angle, and to drop it like halfway through. I mean, I wonder what he would have done if he had just recorded all of this, edited all of it, and then just released it. Like a Netflix where you binge it. I wonder what the reaction would have been then if people could just go to the next episode. Was it because people had to wait? And it's like, oh my God, I just want to see Jake. I wonder if there would have been the same uproar about the sociopaths and all of that kind of stuff.
Well, I think that directly shows a difference between, say, a Netflix or any traditional TV broadcaster and YouTube is, yes, we have social media in place. So new film comes out, people will share their thoughts on social media. But because YouTube is so, there's a direct comment section. Shane is going through those videos, reading the top comments.
Yeah.
There's probably tens of thousands of comments, but he's still going and reading them. And there is a top comments thing. So opinions are being formed. People will be seeing those comments. And like you said, because it's just him, I think that he has taken that criticism and changed it. But maybe it was his plan all along to do that. I don't know.
Yeah. Is that a good thing or a bad thing if it's like signed by committee?
Yeah, but that's what you, that's the whole, that goes into a whole bigger topic with YouTubers and making things that you want to do versus making things that the audience wants. Because we even know when we're doing things, we know that doing a German video, the audience really loves that.
Yeah.
And it's like, we both know, honestly, that we could just do loads of German videos and they'll do really well. But
isn't it nice? That's the new selling out, doing a German video. Whereas before it would be
Zoella in the thumbnail.
Zoe in the thumbnail. Logan Paul. Fat frying pizza.
Anything with other YouTubers in the thumbnail.
Yeah. So that's progress.
As a creator, you've always had that knowing what does better in views, which still I think plays into Shane's thing, maybe.
Can we talk about quickly? So from episode 4, Shane interviews Nick Crompton.
Yeah.
And
that's my favorite episode so far, by the way.
Oh, really? Even after seeing episode 5?
Yeah.
I really liked how Nick explicitly says, you know, Jake said, I'm okay to do this, so that's why I'm here. I was like, that's cool. He seems like a guy who's got a lot of integrity.
Well,
world where it's easy not to have any integrity.
Yeah. Integrity, and, you know, we've made fun of Nick Crompton. Well, I've made fun of him in a video, memed him, whatever. But watching that, I was like, to be honest, I feel sorry for the guy. Yeah. And he seems like a genuinely nice dude. Probably got a shit ton of experience in this space. And I found everything he said really enlightening. And it's going to be interesting to hear Jake's side of the story. One question for you. Yeah. How would you feel if your parents in whatever work career you were doing saw that and you became successful in that and were like, oh, I'm going to sort of bring myself into your world.
Well, so my mum sat one side of me, my dad sat the other side here, and we're doing the podcast together.
Yeah, and they're sat there like, Matt, who do you like better? Me, no, me.
Yeah, it's a lot to unpack. I feel quite sorry for the Logan brothers.
Yeah.
You know, my family stuff is personal to me and my family.
Yeah, of course.
I wouldn't necessarily like not having a control of what they're putting out there. It's my parents anyway. Like, it's just a strange situation.
Coming back to that, that's why what Nick said was so... I really respect him, because he was like, look, whatever goes on between two people, that's their business. Like, that shouldn't be spread for other people to bring their opinions into. And I just thought the whole family angle watching that kind of hit me. And you're right. Part of me felt sorry for them, because they've got these parents who are so wanting to be involved in everything they're doing. But I have no idea what that would feel like.
I think a smaller comparison is when your parents, mine haven't, but lots of my friends have, get social media. And it's like, no, this is like our thing. You guys, what are you doing on here? It's weird. I don't like it. Like,
yeah,
that kind of stuff.
That kind
and of it's a bit embarrassing, a bit cringe, but yeah, they're just doing their thing. Why can't they do that?
Yeah.
And when you say about, like, you know, being in business, you know, your parents are doing the same thing as you, well, a lot of the time it's the other way around, isn't it? The kids do what the parents do.
Yeah.
Join their business, or they take after them. You're doing this, I want to do that too. So what's so bad about the parents twisting it and being, oh, you guys are doing something really cool, I want to do that? What do you think about that?
I just think it's a weird switch up for a young adult to deal with. Jake, when he's 19, 20, 21, all of a sudden being almost the leader or becoming the parent and deciding on what they can and can't do. Because I guarantee when they've done their channels or whatever, they're going to them for advice or asking what they should do. And it is so weird. Now I'm thinking about it, it's so weird. Like, if my mum and dad were like, oh, wow, yeah, what do you think if we start a YouTube channel?
Yeah, well, I mean, what would you do? That is not out of the realms of impossibility. That could happen. Would you say no if they asked you? I mean, if they just did it, then you'd be pissed off.
It's not my place to say no, because you can't stop them doing that. There is a place for them to create something on YouTube, of course. But my mum started uploading pictures of me as a kid at school and all this thing. That's when I'd have to draw the line a bit. Mum, do your thing and maybe don't take me. And so I do feel a bit sorry for Jake watching it, which I never thought those words would come out of my mouth, ever.
So the second stop of this tour, we're interrailing in the digital world.
Literally.
PewDiePie, YouTube god.
Goat.
He is the goat. He's the biggest channel on the platform. Picked up on a brand that is going around, a company that has sponsored 100 YouTubers.
Over 100 YouTubers.
Oh, over 100 YouTubers. Yeah. Called BetterHelp. And they are an online therapy service, aren't they?
Yeah, they essentially have come up with a concept and gone, you're probably much more comfortable in your home getting your therapy online, kind of via Skype. Doesn't that sound like a great idea? Yes, it does. I'd love to do that. That was you that was meant to do that bit.
And it's cheaper.
Well, yeah.
It's supposedly cheaper than face-to-face consultation.
Yeah.
But the main issue, we won't bore you with all the ins and outs. But
it's a big scam.
It's a big scam because they're not taking responsibility for the therapists on there. It's down to the user to determine...
like, whether they're good or not.
Yeah, whether they're good or not, whether they have the right documentation, all that kind of stuff.
Also, their payment structure is a bit muggy offy in the sense that they give...
Muggy offy, I think that's my favourite phrase.
They give you a free week and then they say they bill you monthly, but they bill you the day after your week trial.
So, but big YouTubers have been promoting this. Shane Dawson, Bobby Burns.
I mean, there was loads on there. I'm trying to think. Philip Franco did it. Cody Ko did it.
But it brings up a larger issue, I think, about influencers and YouTubers doing brand deals. And where does the responsibility lie? Is it with the influencer or the YouTuber, or is it with who's managing them? Yeah. Like, where does it lie? What do you think?
Oh, it's so hard, because the weird thing is I watched Shane's and I even told you, actually, because I think we spoke the next day and I was like, did you watch the ad? And you said, no, you skipped it. Fair enough. But I was like, oh, it was really good, actually, because it's all about therapy and helping people, and obviously the episode's inclusive of that stuff. But that's just how Shane had sold it to me. But then Shane has just had that messaging from that company saying, hey, this is what we do. We're going to pay you X amount of money. Spread that message. So you're right. Whose responsibility is it? I would say it falls... I don't know.
Well, because you've obviously done extensive, you've done loads of brand deals across your career. So yeah, how does it work?
A brand will come in and they will go through management. If a brand comes to me, I just send it straight to them because they do all the negotiating and things like that. So once that's in there, the management will figure all the ins and outs, because not to offend a lot of YouTubers, but some people just want to know simple facts of what they're doing. So their manager might call them up and say, hey, BetterHelp want to work with you. They got this much money. This is what you have to do. So then a YouTuber has to decide straight away. They're just like, right. Then it's up to them to ask the questions. When it comes to me, I would ask Gleam. I'd be like, okay, cool. Tell me about the company. What is it? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And I've known you to say, what do you guys think? Should I do this?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
So there is a trust element.
Between both of you, really.
I would say it's between both, because at the end of the day, if they have a call with BetterHelp, the management, and BetterHelp are there going, oh, this is what we do. Explain everything in a sellable way that makes you go, wow, that sounds great. They're obviously going to then pass that message on to me or said creator.
Have you ever been sucked into a scam before or anything like that?
No, the worst case brand deal I've had is did a job with a company and they just went AWOL after. Like, we had a contract. Obviously you have contracts, you have a lot of legal terms. This is a whole other topic we could talk about, brand deals and how they work, because I think it's such an interesting thing that people might want to know about. I was working with you, we did the job, and then I never got paid for it, and then you threaten with legal, and the cost that it would take to take it to court doesn't make sense for the amount of money. But back to the original thing about scam, I kind of do feel a bit sorry for the YouTubers in a way, if it is going to turn into mainstream news, because is it up to them to get, like, I'm going to hold my hands up and say a brand I've worked with, I haven't gone onto their website and read the terms and conditions. If this brand came along to me though, and it's about therapy and stuff, that is a little bit more of a sensitive subject, I would say. So I probably would have more questions I'd want to ask, or more I'd want to know.
I guess if it's just like, I don't know, food or something, that's easier to be not as worried about it. I guess you're right, when it's a sensitive subject, if it's therapy, mental health, if it's religion, if it's anything like that, you're going to be more wary, you're going to look more into it. You know, we've done read-throughs on here before and stuff like that, and normally you're excited when something comes in and you read it and you're like, oh, that's really cool. Like, I may not have done whatever it is that product does, but you read it, oh, okay, great, no problems with that. I remember there was one time though, we were both a bit uneasy about doing something, and you know, it didn't go through in the end. But do you remember?
I do, yeah, because that is a bit more of a, I guess, a controversial topic.
But I get, having this small bit of experience in it now, I do understand the issue, because at the end of the day, people want to make money, don't they?
Of course. But
that's really hard.
It is, because then the company also, they changed their terms, they deleted their terms and changed them, haven't they? And I'm sure after PewDiePie's video, which will draw so much attention to it.
Of course it will.
They'll have a whole team of people trying to sort their shit out.
I think in conclusion, in my opinion, the responsibility does fall with the YouTuber in question, because at the end of the day, your management company can do as much as they can, whatever. YouTubers, it's their faces, it's their names. I feel a bit sorry for them, they've been dragged into this, but I guess with something like, you got to do your due diligence. But yeah, PewDiePie's literally gone into the terms and conditions, which I think most people would put their hands up and say, you know, when you get an insurance of some kind, you're not reading the 40 pages of it, are you? You're normally getting a breakdown of that. What do you think? What is your, like, concluding statement?
It's a weird one, because I think that the brand, the company, BetterHelp, whatever, are selling it to the managers, whoever's doing that, in a way that they're not going to be sharing the terms and conditions. And then the management probably looked on the website and gone, wow, yeah, this does seem legit. Read all of the reviews that they've put on there that seem really good. And it's only if you actually decide to dig a lot deeper that the other stuff comes up.
In percentages, what would you say is who
I think the company's the most fucked then.
Taking them out.
They're
doing whatever they're doing, aren't they?
I would say 50-50.
What do you guys think at home? What you know, tweet in, hashtag LYE, give your thoughts on this percentage. I can see how conflicted you are by it. It is really, it's such a tricky thing.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think if I was in that scenario, because going back to how it works, it's like management have lawyers and companies have lawyers. So once a negotiation has happened, once management's had a call with that company, they'll go, cool, talk to the YouTuber. And we're like, oh, yeah, this sounds good. Let's do it. The lawyers then get together. The lawyers of the management firm, the lawyers of the company get together. So, and they create the contract. Yeah. So there's a whole other element of the lawyers in it. And then does it fall on the lawyers?
Well, they operate underneath the umbrella of the management, isn't it?
Yeah.
So ultimately then, with that new information, I think it's a bit heavier with the management.
But... I know in America that it works a little bit differently, whereas the YouTubers have individual lawyers. So how they have over there, like I'm just talking about my management.
I see.
Some people have a manager and then they'll have their own individual lawyers outside of the management company who look over their brand deals. I know loads of YouTubers who have that.
So then the dilemma is, are they, you know, lawyers aren't cheap, aren't they? So are they getting their lawyer to look over these terms and conditions? I would imagine that with most brands, yeah, most companies, you do meet them and stuff and they're nice and you're not suspecting everyone to be a disaster. Each company you get involved with, they aren't going to be evil and things like that.
Oh, no.
So if you're an individual YouTuber and you've got your own separate lawyer, you're not going to want to vet every single company because there's 0.01% who's going to be fucking evil.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. You know, like think of all the people that we've had meetings with, brands, all these things, and imagine we've never left being like, fucking hell, they seem evil.
But then you do have a good screening process. When you get the emails through, they come through to you, and you will show me the funny ones where you're like, well, I mean, this is ridiculous. I'm obviously not doing this. So yeah, maybe they're not doing that for different companies. You're like, oh... That's some good money, actually. I'm sure it's fine.
Because just to add in finally, you should watch the PewDiePie video because he goes in detail. But something we didn't say is, did make it a little bit weirder, I thought, is the YouTubers weren't being paid on a flat rate in terms of impressions. They were being paid on a conversion rate. So how many people you get to go over and actually sign up to their site, then the YouTuber gets paid. That is always a bit of a weird one.
Imagine using a code... Butler to then get therapy. It's
with
so
therapy,
weird.
It's weird. I'm trying to
with
think.
Other things, it's fine. Like a referral or something to clothes or something. But
with therapy, it's mental a bit health. Weird, isn't it?
Good on you, PewDiePie and the team, for picking up on this because the company shouldn't get away with it, basically. They're mis-selling information.
He is good, isn't he?
Are you ready for one of the most controversial big questions we've ever had on this podcast?
I can see the question already.
This is epic. That this is so big. I'm almost nervous to say it. I don't want to offend anyone. This is
big. Matt covering up that it's going to be very embarrassing.
This is just such a huge news story. That, guys, if you haven't heard of it, where have you been? Like, seriously, where have you been? So the headline is, Christmas sandwiches go on sale in October.
Yeah, it is a bit far-fetched, isn't it?
To the delight of hungry shoppers. To be honest, it's not even worth reading out the article.
I mean, that sums it up, yeah.
It does, okay. Doesn't it?
Yeah, that
so
sums it up.
Is. So everyone does a version of a Christmas sandwich at all your outlets. They've now gone on sale in October. Is that a bit early?
I have always stood by anything before Halloween just needs to not be a thing.
I agree, because you're building up to Halloween
it's
now.
It's just not a thing, mate.
Christmas.
We're still 10 weeks away from Christmas.
I'm glad we haven't heard Christmas music yet.
I'm glad we both share that. Don't do anything Christmas themed until Halloween.
Because then November's like a Christmas month.
November's like, all right, you know, now I can start thinking about it. Fuck off before then.
But we are going to start thinking about it on this podcast right now, and it's the 10th of October. So my question to you is, and again, I'm so sorry for making you do this, it's really hard. I don't want you to get in trouble for this. We'll get in touch with Gleam and just check it's okay to speak about. What is your favorite winter themed meal?
Oof.
You thought Brexit was hard.
Wow. Which way should I spill the tea? What even is a Christmas themed meal?
Should I give some examples?
Yeah, give me some examples.
Like mince people pies. Have like roasted chestnuts. Yeah, mince pies.
Mulled wine.
Brussels sprouts. Mulled wine, that's a big one, isn't it? Yep.
See, I'm a bit weird because I have Brussels sprouts all year round.
Yeah, same. But people think of it as a winter thing, don't they?
Yeah.
Think of when you go into one of those big Christmas festival places, all the shit they have there. Think about that.
Oh,
like a bit of cheese.
Is that a Christmas thing? Or is that just Mine a thing is. For you? Never heard someone go, oh, Christmas Day, I love cheese. I'm going to go... I was just going to be really boring and say I just love Christmas dinner.
Christmas dinner?
Yeah. I love my roast turkey.
It's just a roast dinner, isn't it?
Nah, but it's a special one. I'm going to go with mulled wine then. I was walking around Berlin last... That's weird to say, last night, thinking...
What, you wanted some?
Yeah.
That's nice. Was it nice and like winter? Was it cold?
Yeah, it was getting cold.
I like it now. It's getting cold because it's like fresh as well. And this summer was so hot.
Give it a month sticky. And we're going to be like, I want summer. What's yours?
You're going to love this. This is like a little lesson in cheese. Oh. So it's a Mont d'Or. And basically, it's a French cheese. It's only sold in the winter months. And you have it traditionally on Christmas Eve. And it's like a sociable cheese. So you bake it.
No, and you dip stuff in it.
Yeah, 20 to 30 minutes. 160, 180 degrees, and put a little layer of pancetta on top of it and a bit of white wine. It's amazing. I want you to have it, but I don't think you ever would. You're not a cheese man, are you?
I think I've had it before.
Have you?
Yeah, I think so.
Mont d'Or is the absolute one. So you can have it like baked camembert and stuff as well, but Mont d'Or is like a lot more depth in the flavour, more rich.
Is this now a cheese podcast? You just went on.
Yeah, just an absolute rant about cheese. But no, cheesemonger.
I'm not a cheese person, no.
Going to change that. In this office, I'm going to do you a cheese platter.
Please don't.
I am.
Because that's what I hate the most about cheese is the smell.
When we do a Christmas party, I'll sort you out. Stench.
Also, it's like fermented milk, isn't it? Most of it's just gone off. Probably shouldn't be eaten. Thank you very much for listening to this week's episode, guys. I really hope you've enjoyed us rambling on. I don't know. As always, I feel like I want to change the outro as well. I might just be like, all right, thanks, guys. Bye.
No, it's so
much easier,
it's
isn't it?
It's a lovely way to say bye to everyone.
Do you think?
Thanks for sticking around with us and keep rating us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. And
joining Patreon,
www.patreon.com/loweryourexpectations. That I could be an influencer.
You are
getting there now.
You're just do a job of BetterHelp and then you'll be done. But yeah, thank you very much, guys. We will see you guys next week. I might just say guys again because I feel like I've said guys so many times in this outro. So see you then, guys.
Bye, guys.
Brought to you by Lexus. Some things do more than their stated functions, because exceptional things inspire you to do exceptional things. To this select list, we add the all-new Lexus GX. With its exceptional capability, you'll see possibilities you never knew existed, sending you far outside your comfort zone. But as much as the GX challenges you, it also spoils you. Its intuitive technology and luxurious features mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to it. The all-new Lexus GX.